Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. As an avid chickener, gardener, and bicyclist, one thing I've noticed about human intelligence, supposedly superior to the special abstract skills of other critters, is our counterproductive tendency to reach for the most complicated, crazy solution to a problem we can when there's a simple one right in front of us. An excuse, I guess, to use our superior brain power not only once, but again and again as our crazy solutions generate new crazy problems that we can approach with even more insane solutions. Some people want to blame science, or a little more accurately, technology, for this notorious problem of solutions that create more problems. But that's like blaming the hammer for smashing your thumb when you were building a hen house with a beer in one hand, if you catch my drift. The scientific method is useful. It's useful to understand the reproductive cycle of the hen in a reliable, rational, reproducible way when you're integrating chickens into your gardening. And technology is useful. Things like feeders and special coop features can all be part of a sustainable backyard system. When applied holistically and with an eye towards elegant simplicity, the act of cultivation, husbandry, and gentle direction of nature, or cooperation even better, are enlightened expressions of the artfulness of the human species. Backyard chickening involves science and technology cooperating with nature on a manageable scale. Think of all the practical benefits chickens bestow when allowed to share our space. They can help an ambitious farmer transform any modest yard to a bona fide small farm by providing free bug and weed control, transforming our compost bins into a premium garden fertilizer with their soil nutrient-rich poop, and of course, providing many nutritious egg breakfasts for the backyard chickener. The Bucky Bacall agenda of transforming the North American landscape of urban and suburban lawns into one dotted with small chicken flocks would improve all of our standard of living and solve problems like water waste, pesticide pollution, and the excessive use of petroleum in producing and shipping corporate food. All agriculture is inherently technology-based, but on a Bucky Bacall scale, we cooperate with nature to maximize yield and comfort. When agriculture is applied on a grand, unwieldy scale, like factory farming, all kinds of little problems arise that suddenly become huge challenges. Just one of these needlessly inflated issues is the question of the now notorious omega-3 vitamins and how to reintroduce these important nutrients into your food day. What you may know is that omega-3s are what some people call the good fats, as opposed to omega-6, the bad fats. We all have fat in our bodies and need to take some in, but some of these fats are more flexible and fluid, allowing for processes that burn, where others are more rigid and allow for greater stability. Omega-3s are what they call long chains. They're the more flexible ones, and that's why we find them in our brains, hearts, and other organs that do complicated stuff. Omega-6s are short chains. That's what they say molecularly. And they're required for different purposes, such as creating physical structure and creating warmth. Both are indeed necessary, but it's easy to have too much 6, and nowadays, it's hard to get nearly enough 3s. A misconception is that omega-3s only come from fish, maybe from flax, or from weird products like enriched eggs. Fish are high in omega-3s, but omega-3s originate in plants. The fish are getting their omega-3s from algae and plankton. The reason fish are the animals who are known to have omega-3s in their bodies is because they're one of the last animals that people actually eat that still eat greens. In the past, when all our livestock used to forage for themselves and eat lots of grasses and other greens, or bugs that fed on grasses and other greens, their tissues too were full of omega-3s and had a lot fewer omega-6s. Omega-6s are a fat that are abundant in seeds or in corn, and that's what factory farmers feed to their animals. There are several reasons why mega agriculture don't feed their animals greens. But what it really comes down to is that greens are harder to control, store, and ship than processed corn or seed foods. Furthermore, omega-3s are less stable, as I mentioned before. In other words, they go bad faster. Eggs and meat, meant for the market, are more saleable if they are omega-6 fatty. Original agriculturalists didn't really understand the whole fat situation, so maybe we can give them an excuse. But now that we've figured out that humans need omega-3s in their diet, there's an extra advantage to corporate food suppliers. They can sell back to us what they've removed from the products that used to have it. Truth in advertising would be corporate food, vitamins not included. In the past, chickens ate bugs and insects and greens and grasses and accumulated a lot of omega-3s in their diets and accumulated a lot of omega-3s in their bodies. Hens, in particular, concentrated omega-3s in their eggs for the same reason that omega-3s are concentrated in the breast milk of nursing women. It's the evolutionary advantage of brain development of the next generation. So eggs always were naturally omega-3 rich. Free-range eggs, that is. Corporate eggs are only omega-3 rich if they have loads of flax or processed omega-3 snuck into their diet. How ironic is that? That's why studies show that backyard, true free-range chicken eggs are multiple times more nutritious and less artery hardening than factory eggs. It's not just omega-3s. And it's exactly why it's not only good for your health to replace supermarket eggs with real eggs, it's also our duty to protect against a corporate food system that would divide all the things that earn a good breakfast into sold separately components. This is Bucky Bacall. I had a good time. Bucky Bacall.